Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
I'm so excited. I'm excited today. I have very interesting guests. But this guest today, you know, I have known him since I started doing, he was doing stand-up way before me and was a rock star when I started in like 1982, 83. He was already a rock star and tall and hot. His career is beyond phenomenal, but his life is so fascinating, which, you know, I did all my research. So I am thrilled. And he has a, you know, a headphone from 1970 when he first started, you know. No, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Rick Overton is here. Woo!
Thank you, Judy. Love you, Judy.
I love you. Rick, you're so... Okay, so, you know, I do a lot of research because I love people's stories. Your childhood, to me, is so fascinating. First of all, you were born in Forest Hills. You grew up in Englewood, New Jersey, right?
There's a story to it. I know. There's a Dizzy Gillespie story.
I know everything about you. Okay. Father, mother, younger brother. Your father, I mean, it's just like, I can't even believe these are your parents. Your father was the band arranger for Thelonious Monk, among so many others, taught at Juilliard, taught at Yale, created sort of bebop, jazz, like such a major influence. Your mother, who's given name is Anne, but she went by Nancy, was a singer. And she was in the, what is it, the Shoredettes, the
Cordettes?
Cordettes.
Cord.
Cordettes.
Because it's a cord. Look, I have a piano. Yeah, the Cordettes. Yeah.
Right.
Lollipop. And you know the song Lollipop and Mr. Sandman.
Yeah.
And your parents, your mother didn't stop performing until she had, you know, your brother and decided.
Steve.
Yeah. So.
Who has turned out to be a stupendous musician and has a lot of stuff on YouTube.
I don't know why.
I don't know why it jumped over me. You know, I kept a little of the timing and I just used it differently.
Now, your mother, like, I would like to say that, you know, your mother was born Anne Swan, but she's known
as Swain.
I didn't see the AI because I write like shit. but was known as Nancy Swain Overton. I want to start with your grandparents, your mother's parents. Your mother's father was a physicist,
mm-hmm.
and your mother's mother was played piano and was a suffragette. I mean,
she was a suffragette. She was a badass from the early century.
I mean, did you ever meet them?
Yeah,
you did. Okay, you got to
grandpa. Grandpa didn't live that long, but grandma went a little longer way. He had a stroke, and so he died peacefully in sleep at the age of 67. And grandma went on to be 88.
So what was your relate? Did you see them? What was your relate? Because I, you know, my grandmother, that's the Jew bell. Anytime I mention anything Jewish, I ring a bell. So my grandmother, Dorothy, was born in 1896. And she lived till I was 25. And I shared a bedroom with her on the weekends. Like she came to visit every weekend and I had the biggest room because I was a baby. No, but I shared a room with her. And, you know, she was 24 when women got the right to vote. You know, I had 25 years with a woman who was from a different center, different time, had experienced, you know. So were you close with your grandmother or did you spend, you were?
Yeah, not so much with Dad's mom. And we didn't go to visit as much, and she wasn't the same sort of outgoing individual.
Right.
She was a stoic farm life person. And
right.
Pop Overton, they were very quiet and
right.
sort of kept to themselves on the farm there in Kalamazoo. But no, Grandma, we called her Diffy, Edith. We called her Diffy, you know. She came out of sort of an Ivy League setting. And she didn't go for it so much, you know.
Right.
Not every element of it was suitable for her at a time when every element was supposed to be.
Right.
And so she put up resistance in places where people had not seen any such thing. And Grandpa was kind of this chill physicist guy. And by the way, what I mean by chill is, you know, he was very, very high up cleared guy. He was at the Bimini nuclear test. And,
oh my God.
They wanted him to participate on the Manhattan Project, but he was of the school that you set these off, you run the risk of turning Earth into a star because maybe they don't stop and they chain react and eat Earth.
Right.
And he was mistaken about that, but they still had clearance with him. He had full eye. He could walk on the Nautilus when it was brand new, you know,
no
that kind
way.
Of stuff. So he was way up there, you know, and he was the editor of Power Magazine for many years. Now, you want to hear a crazy story?
Yes.
My mom saw Hitler.
Oh my God. This is my favorite episode ever. Are you kidding? Oh, I don't know why I rang the Jew bell.
Yeah,
but
the government, the German government was wooing American scientists in the 30s.
Yep.
And so our government approached him and said, you have to go in and bring your family to give this a legitimate look. And you need to go take a look at what he's building that is breaking the Versailles Treaty. And then you got to come back after he is showing off to you and dining and wining you. And you got to come back. You got to get out of there somehow. And you got to get back and say what he's doing. And so my grandpa was one of the people to say he's building up.
And
my mom saw all the people milling around the streets until they all formed this line and guards started forming a line and everyone got scared and stiffed and all threw their right arm in the air. Mom couldn't really see. She's just looking through people because she's a little girl. But she looked through and she saw this 1930s car go by. And there he is with the hand going by. And that was it. And she saw him for a second, you know. And they were staying with a German officer who had a Jewish mistress. And she was not identified as such. And he was protecting her. And she was helping my grandparents get out of Germany. And so they put all their asses on the line to get him out. But if they got, that's why I'm here. They got out.
So, that is fucking fascinating. That
there's a lot of several people did. They're not the only ones. He's not the one.
Right. But just the fact that your mother, from everywhere. So she must have, what was she like? 10, 11 years? Like how was she? Was
six,
it,
something like
six. Oh, she was six. Okay. Wow. That's
early 30s, you know, early mid 30s.
And she never forgot that image, which is
okay. Well,
I mean, I know, but wow. And
so he brought up information about the fact that these airliners are not just airliners.
Right.
That no way are you loading luggage through these big drop swinging doors in the bottom of an airliner like that.
Right.
It's not luggage.
Right.
That's not for luggage.
Wow.
And so they're making bombers and putting windows on the side to make them look like airliners from a photograph. So you can't tell. And then they just paint them German and then they're a bomber. So wise up, everybody. And we didn't build our Air Force up in time. We had the weakest Air Force of all the countries.
That is incredible. Wow. I don't even know what to say. I'm just shocked. Oh my God. So your grandfather had dinner with Hitler
groups of science. He was with a large group of scientists. It wasn't a separate thing. It was with a row of guys from America, from England, from different places that were coming out. Briefly
to
visit.
Checking the whole situation.
Yeah. England got hit, man. They started building Spitfires and Hurricanes right away. Right. They go, okay, get to work, everybody.
Right.
It's on. We didn't. We thought we're big America. We're too far away from them.
Oh, really? I don't think much has changed from that point. What do you think your grandfather would think about this global warming and climate change? I mean,
he's a smart man. He would have. He did think about Earth first. I mean, even his decision about nuclear weapons was sort of a choose the planet first and go a little slower into this venture with breaking an atom.
Well, that's way ahead of his time. Oh, my God.
Scientists were men of reason.
Right.
Or women of reason. Madame Curie, whoever, who would put themselves at risk first, like Madame Curie.
Right.
And be the one to be experimented upon. And the thing about corporate science, which has sort of replaced regular science these days, corporate science doesn't enter with the same motives. Corporate science is you do everything to find A.
Right.
Rather than you go out, search for the alphabet. And you then, it's about learning. This isn't about learning. This is about forcing and even lying to make an A fit in an A-hole.
Right. You know, my great uncle, Joseph Goldberger cured pellagra, and he also worked for the government. He went down south where all these low income people were dying. And he infected himself. He proved that it wasn't contagious, and it was actually a vitamin deficiency that was causing all these people to die down south. And
what a hero.
Yeah, and he
what a real deal hero.
Right.
Wow. And
so I got a little, you know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and his wife, he ended up dying, and his wife was his assistant, and she was left with nothing. And she petitioned Congress to get a pension. Like, she's the first person to say, look, I was working with my husband on this. I got to support my family now. And she petitioned Congress. And his name's Joseph Goldberger, Dr. Joseph Goldberger.
Dr. Goldberger.
And he gave my mother, who was born in 22, her vaccines. Vaccines, people, you fucking idiots. You stupid fucking fucks. Anyway.
Hey, everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Your mom, she grew up in Grand Rapids. Is that correct? Did someone grow up in Grand Rapids? Wait, I have a whole
Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yeah. That was dad.
That was your
dad
father.
On the farm.
Right. So
that
your
was
father's
the Overton
on the farm.
Farm, which then got bought up by a much bigger tract of land. And
right,
that was
here
it for
is.
Farming.
And your father's high school music teacher recognized a gift in him and said, and sent him to Chicago Musical College. His hands. He had beautiful hands.
Span. It was
right.
a football throw, you know?
Wow. That's like my son, and I wanted him
claw.
To play. Yeah.
Claw. He can grab. Can he palm the ball?
Yeah, he plays college basketball, yeah. But huge hands. But it's so, you know, like it's interesting because your father had a teacher who recognized this, who set him on a path, which, you know, that's why teachers are so fucking important. And, you know, Irving Berlin was sent to get lessons. And the teacher said, no, I'm not going to fuck with this. And there you go. So it's teacher. So now we've discussed scientists and teachers. Okay. And who are treated like the shittiest shit in our country right now, scientists and teachers. Okay. So your father met your mother working, right?
Tommy Tucker and his two timers.
Tommy Tucker and
the moonlighting. He was moonlighting the keys for Tommy Tucker and his two timers and met mom when she was singing with them. And mom was one of the Ray Heatherton's Heathertones and on the Burt Park show. And so she was in the earliest days of black and white TV. She was not one of the original quartets. We'll get to that later. But she was one of the original Heathertones. And
right.
It was made. They were sort of in the in the Andrew sisters level harmony,
yes,
kind of thing. But because of it, she would the Cordettes would be the transitional group into girl rock. It's one of the first transitions into girl rock at all,
right?
With harmonies and stuff like that. And so she was in not the first issue of the group. You know, they trade up members when someone gets right, sick or pregnant
them,
or married.
One of them got pregnant or something.
One of them got pregnant. Right? Can't zip that skinny dress right. up anymore. Mom jumps yeah. in to do car shows in the road. And so right. I go on the road. So
yes,
I was
that's,
early,
I have that.
Very
that's,
early, indoctrinated yeah. into the road, you know, and I would see yeah. comedians. I would right. see comedians going on first. And I go, oh, now, wait a minute. That doesn't require any music training.
It's so funny that. You know, your brother's a musician.
You've oh, he's so said, good.
Duh. I mean, and you've said that you got your timing, not from your father, but from your mother. I've read that.
Mom would, gave me my wordplay.
Right.
Dad gave me that sort of a cool thing you can do with it. But right. Dad mostly hipped me to the people who did do it.
Right.
Because being a jazz guy, you have to be cool. And as we know, cool is kind of not the best friend of comedy.
Right.
Cool, because cool is what you don't show in the way of vulnerability, which is
right.
really required for the gig to work. You
right.
know? And so he's kind of in an interesting position there, in a corner in a way, because you got to be a cool jazz guy.
Right.
You can't give
right.
that up for those other parts.
I mean, there's
but,
not.
Oh, you wish. Unless you're yeah. Pete Barbuti or something like that, you don't really get that. So he was kind of laying it on me really early, like maybe you, and it was true. He called that one. You know, parents don't always call
right.
their suppressed dream upon the child, but this one, he kind of, it did, it worked. So I'm grateful.
You know, it's it's so true. I have never met an uncool jazz musician, not ever. I mean, and it's a whole other level of cool. It's not even like, and you can't fake it. You cannot fake it. It's like. No. They're, I mean, I go listen to jazz all the time and I'm fascinated because it's so communicative, you know, and it's so organic and it's so like, how the fuck, I mean, I don't know. It's like otherworldly to me. You know what I mean? It's like ESP. I don't know. I fucking love jazz. And you know, I was doing research on you, which then led me to watch like 1,000 Thelonious Monk videos. And his hands, you know, because you look at his hands and, you know, I took piano lessons forever. I was a music major, but never did anything with it. But, you know, his hands are in the wrong. If any teacher would be like, stop that, you know, and it was just straight fingers and it's going all over the fucking place.
Two fingers and
yeah.
hit the two notes at
yeah,
once.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
that
yeah.
bebop, da-da, you know.
Oh my God. Okay, so you're a little boy. Your mother's a beautiful, by the way. I mean, everything I read about her, she was stunning, and she's traveling. You know, did they get married? Was it like this big love story? Was it, you know, oh my God, I'm in love with you. Were you planned? Do you think you were planned? Because I mean, for a woman to go on the road with her baby then, you know, was unusual.
Well, truth be known, we were both what we were described as wonderful accidents.
Oh.
So and it wasn't really in the book.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Dad was a pretty big virile dude and, you know. Oh, it's only a matter of time, really.
Right. You lived in Forest Hills, right? Up yeah. until what, 6, 7? How old were you?
Moved out in 66 because okay. A certain somebody
yes.
found,
so you
found
were
a
eight.
Pad to live
right.
here for us and Dad.
So you're on
Two
the road.
Two guys did, yeah.
Right. Well, you're on
Two
the
guys.
Road with your mother.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes it would happen. Sometimes it was fun. Get
uh-huh.
to go out more than I was little. Once school started, I had to sort of stick around. And that has sort of becoming a pressure on mom. Then who's going to stick around for mom?
Right.
When dad's
Especially
at work, at teaching at Juilliard or the new school or whatever.
Right.
So back then, sort of your job is you got to, and you have now Steve on the way. There's just no way.
Right.
We can't afford to have a daycare scenario or whatever.
Right.
So it became a problem. And mom felt that her dream was sort of going into the thing because of that. And that sort of that stayed with her whole life, you know, yeah, one level or another. And then she reformed the group later, and it was
right.
It felt better to get her voice out there again.
So she basically, all you remember about going on the road with her, you remember there was a comic that, and they were car, and you love cars.
Yeah.
You
love George Burns, cars. My George Burns story. And I think it was the Ohio County Fair, but there was a pool by the hotel, and there was also a little tiny putting course that I, for some reason, decided to turn into a driving range. And I I hit that ball, so it was, and it went in the pool. I didn't really plan that part,
right?
But it was a good accident, because then this old cat with bald and crispy brown in the sun, and he just went. Bruce went down, came up. Here you go, young man. I know that voice. George Burns.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm George Burns. And he says, can you find a pen? And as he was signing George Burns on the golf ball, I did a joke and I got a laugh at him. I said, wow, George really burns. You know the senior approval laugh?
Yes.
It wasn't really like a real laugh, but it was an acknowledgement that I would never forget.
Right.
And that was kind of a formative moment to,
I'm funny. It was a validation. That's fucking
That's a big one right there.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
So you are, your brother comes and Dizzy Gillespie calls.
Yeah.
Because you're friends with, were you aware at this age of who these people were and what they meant to the culture of our country and music? And
not entirely.
Yeah.
But I know what they meant to my parents.
Right.
And that was my universe at that point. So their approval was kind of a pretty good standard guide.
Right.
For what's probably. Yeah, this is something I should pay a lot more attention to. And I tried, you know, I tried the music thing a little bit, but
my
brother's deal. That's for Steve. That's his thing.
Can you tell me, Dizzy Gillespie calls and says, look, there's a house next door. Like what, how did you end up moving to Englewood, New Jersey?
Well, Diz.
Saying, oh my God, you said Diz. Okay.
Yeah, that's what everyone said. Hey, Diz is coming over for dinner tonight, and Thelonious too. Maybe, you know, he doesn't always, he's in his world. So he'll make a plan and always not, you know, so we would have dinner table get togethers because both of them thought that dad should move out to Englewood because parking was getting nuts in Forest Hills, Queens in 66. Right. Parking was getting nuts.
Still bad. It's still bad.
It was what? There was parking before that in 65. I don't know. No one remembers parking in Queens. Right. For you buy a spot for $1,000 a month.
Right. So.
Yeah. So that's what we did. We moved out to the flat part down on the bottom, you know, near Dwight Morrow High School, where I wound up going to school with John Travolta. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So. Who were
I wasn't
neighbors?
Richie Lewis's. I wasn't his generation.
Yeah, I know you're very young.
A little later, just a tiny bit later. But everyone was talking about him.
Yeah, they were.
Well, they were saying he was great and funny and all that stuff. And when I was trying to move my way into Funny Town, people would go, "Yo, you're another one of those Lewis's, huh?"
Yeah, you're in Englewood, New Jersey. You're surrounded by these people are coming in and out of your house. These incredible people. Like, did you know you were different than these other kids? Like, because I grew up in New Jersey.
Where were you, Judy?
I was in Clark.
Yeah, you guys. What was it? What was your sport? Ours was basketball. What was your kill sport?
Oh, no, they loved football and
football.
And the KKK.
We weren't that good with, we weren't as strong with the, they were what? Were they really?
Yeah, they had a lot of like. Cross burn is ridiculous. Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. Jersey's not all one thing.
No. Did you know that your childhood was filled with so much stuff that other kids didn't have? Like, were you aware of that?
to a certain degree, I was, though I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't go around acknowledging that.
Right.
Get your ass kicked for one more reason.
Right.
But it would be, though it was a community of other artists and their children.
Right.
A lot of New Yorkers who wanted a Manhattan suburb, which is what Englewood was ultimately supposed to be.
Right.
Or Englewood Cliffs, certainly.
Yes.
You know, there. And a lot of times, because of the way school zoning was arranged, the kids from the Cliffs would come down and go to Dwight Morrill with the kids from the flat part.
Right.
The middle class guys like me.
Yeah.
And so we would hang out with the ones who had all these other things in their lives, because it was very much an arts community kind of based town, though. And at that time, I think that was the case. I don't know if it's still the case, though. I hear things just changed as they do.
Yeah.
I hope their departments are as strong. Yeah. And someone should make sure that they are.
What was school like? Just regular? Did you play sports? I mean, you're 6'4", you're, you know.
They bugged me about it, but.
Yeah. Same.
Really interested at all.
I know.
I got other shit to do, man. I got jokes to tell. I got things to create. I don't want to spend time just ruining my knees at this age, you know.
So you are in high school and John Travolta. And
he didn't stay for his last year either. He is gone doing Grease.
What was he like? What was he popular? Was he like, was everyone like, oh my God, that's John Travolta? Or like,
just a little bit. It was starting to be a little bit after his Coke commercial.
Right. And then did he, was he in the school play or anything?
I don't remember hearing about it if he was. That isn't how we knew him. He was kind of off doing bigger stuff than school plays by the time everybody talked about John Travolta.
Yeah.
So I was in flying school with him, with Miss Patton.
No way! With Miss Patton?
Dwight Morrill, Miss Patton. And she was one of the first female pilots in America at the time. And she was in the WACS, Women's Air Corps.
Right.
And she's a tough, badass gal.
You think she was a lesbian?
Oh, clearly she was. And she had a sweetheart in the school.
That's right, baby!
And everyone knew about both of them. No one gave the remotest shit. We all wanted to learn how to fly. And we're completely confident with her teaching us how to get that Cessna up off the ground.
Right.
So my first flying experience is pulling that yoke back.
Right.
Don't go too fast to keep it steady. Keep watching the artificial horizon. All of that. I know that because of Ms. Pat. All my ability to fly right now is based on her.
Do you find it interesting that a lesbian taught John Travolta and yet John Travolta cannot come out of El Closeto? Mm-hmm.
It's a very homophobic and sexist action film industry for action. And it might be different if he weren't known so much for the action stuff, but because
I know, but it's so stupid,
I'm not defending
Rick.
I'm saying that's the battle in the head is, though. It's a torturous battle.
But it's also Scientology, you know, they can't, you know, you know what I'm saying, baby?
They don't like admitting to certain things, but I think everyone's model of how this works is outdated and they don't need to be afraid of it as they have traditionally held on to being.
Right.
And tradition isn't always up to date, as we know. And so they could probably introduce another kind of hero now if they did it the right way and
didn't
pander and talk down about or virtue signal about. If you just had this person be a motherfucker and go like full Jason Bourne on something, you'll let the rest of it go.
Well, look, you just want to see the glitz.
People just
comes out, he's like, you know, I wish I didn't have to do this, blah, but then we find out he's a Trump supporter, so whatever.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Okay, so you leave high school. By the way, you all, I know you say you're not musical, but you do play the harmonica.
I do play the harmonica. I think I'm pretty good on the old harp because that's, thank you, Uncle Robert Klein. Love you, Robert Klein, ding. And also thank you, Mrs. Wolfson in fourth grade.
I love you, fifth grade. Mrs. Wolfson.
I love you. Yeah, she encouraged my creativity on every level. And even my music and my ability to sing when I was singing, you know, the national anthem and all of that, she would be encouraging to me. So there's like only a handful of people that really said, besides my parents, you might be able to actually do something with that. And so I went forward thanks to these individuals and their encouragement in my life.
Okay. So there you go. Just like your father, teachers influenced your life for the best. This
influences
is dedicated to
in the best way.
Yes. This is dedicated to teachers all over the world. Okay. So you started doing stand-up in high school as a team, Overton and Sullivan.
Overton and Pastore was the first team. In high school, it was Overton and Pastore. And Anthony Pastore was, and if it's in Wikipedia, we need to fix that. I'll get on it. Thank you.
I don't usually use Wikipedia, but whatever.
Okay, good. It's so Anthony Pastore, who is now a very, very successful salesperson in the meat industry across the nation.
Right.
He does giant allotments, you know, millions of bucks at a time.
Right.
And his dad was in that biz. But while we were in high school, we were the two-man team and we would do assemblies and get laughs doing skits and stuff like that. We were doing morning announcements with characters and voices. Remember, there were morning teams that would do all the sound effects back then on the radio. We're kind of like, well, maybe we got a little place for us in that radio scene before we go live somewhere. And then his world took him down to Florida to get back into the real world again, you know, and the sales thing. And immediately he took off to be great. So I was like, I need a partner. God, I can't really do this on my own. I got to find a guy. My buddy Bill Spitz says, I got the guy for you, Roger Sullivan. He's this wild man, inventive, creative, Marty Feldman kind of dude. And so Roger and I went to Watkins Glen, did acid, and started doing a sketch together.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
And while the band was on stage, dong dong, boom boom boom, setting up, we did like a bit for a half hour that had a huge circle of people all looking around at us at the end and applauding. And we said, "Oh man,
this is it.
We have to do a comedy team." And then we did for 5 years. But the problem with the team is, of course, they're only paying you for one increment of time. And now it was artist. You're a genius. You were a virtuoso tonight. You were magnificent. Now it's whose premise was more important than whose punchline.
Right.
Who owns the car? Who pays the gas? Who's booking the gigs? Who's putting the time on the phone?
Right.
And that marriage is done.
And it's real. Yeah, it is a marriage, you know, it's like, and you really have to make sacrifices and you get paid half the fucking money. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how they do it unless they brokered a great deal for what they got. You know, they got to figure this part out. It's two people. I don't know. So all props to the genius of Roger Sullivan. You know, he did a little bit of his own stuff on his own afterwards, like I did. And then in a series of unfortunate things and an illness claimed him and his heart took him.
R.I.P. Okay. You then went to the Improv on 44th between 9th and 10th in the early 70s and started doing solo stand-up, correct?
78 would be 78. When Roger and I split up. And then I went back to the places where we were when we were the two of us.
Sometimes
it was awkward because Roger would be there too. And hey, man. And, oh, God. You know, good set. Yeah, good set.
Yeah, shit. It's so uncomfortable, but
I don't know what to do, but this is where we work.
Did you ever see him do something you guys and you were like, oh, that's mine? Yeah.
Well, only to a degree. And he was very thorough about trying not to do that.
Right.
And he should have. He should have done more. He put so much work into some of that there, but he was going to do his own thing, and it just...
Stubborn,
and it wasn't going where it ought to.
So
and it should have. He was very esoteric in certain ways, and he needed another boost. He needed another partner. Yeah. I think
some
he needed another
need
partner. I think so.
Who's at the Improv in the late 70s? Who are the acts there? I mean, I know you worked with Andy Kaufman.
Elaine was there all the time. The unsung heroine. Look at her influence even on I'm Dying Up Here, which, by the way, your work took my breath away.
You got
me to actually cry.
Oh, my God. I love you, Rick.
I love you right back. Your work was breathtaking
thank
on
you.
That show. I would sit back. I would replay it, and just watch you. But just revealing what this is like and for a woman and for you to then embody a comedian back then when it was really a boys club.
Yeah.
You know this world so well. You played her to a brilliant T and you should have gotten more acknowledgement for it.
Oh, Rick,
I just deserve it of an award.
Thank you.
You took my breath. Brad Garrett also took my breath. He made me cry too.
Yeah.
Remember when he's hanging on the ledge and he goes, and he's tired and he's crying in that scene.
Right. He's amazing.
And he's getting me right now. Yeah. So yeah, any day of the week, I would so love to work with you again one day, you know, and have more scenes together.
Yes.
Have more scenes because we had great stuff. We just, we were. But I thought that show had more places to go. Don't you?
I do. Yes, I totally did. I don't know what the fuck. It's just like TV is so weird. You know, there's so many great things and they just don't get made or they get cut off or whatever. But that was the first time anyone really gave me this opportunity to show that I could act. And I was so hoping I would get other work. Motherfuckers.
This is a weird business. Ladman was magnificent.
Yes, magnificent.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
And perfect. And all the guys were. It's every comic who went on there showed one whole other deal going on with them that they should be taken seriously for other kinds of stuff.
Right. So you're at the Improv. Boozler, I've had on the podcast. I talked to her all the time. She is as a, you know, there were two people, I think, that really had a profound effect on me as a little girl and all through, you know, Joan Rivers was a huge influence on me. But when I was in
high school, Joan.
Exactly. And when I was in high school, I would watch Elaine and I was like, you know, it was mind-boggling. Like, I'm like, this, I can do this, but her, she's fucking genius. I mean, her body of work is unbelievable. And I feel like, you know, I spoke to her recently and she's done, you know, like you can't fight that much more, you know, she's living her life. And it's so sad that well, for women.
It looks like Italy is doing nice things. For
yes.
Her. Viva Italia for those two.
She's
they're just
yeah
going to all the sites and kicking it back with the local food and all that stuff. So a million blessings and much joy to those yes. two. They've earned some of that.
That absolutely. And she, yeah, she's incredible. All right. So who was in Andy. Your class?
Andy was there yeah. a lot. And, yeah. And she back was in 78.
They yeah, lived well, together, right? Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And I, a lot of people don't know, I was the first guy to take the pitcher of water from Tony Clifton.
No way.
Yeah. Roger's right in the early days when I was stuck breaking apart with Roger.
Right.
And so, guys, we don't know if we have a set for you tonight. Well, then I'm going to do the plant thing with him. And he's like, oh, come on, man. What? Then they can't. We can't be the team afterwards. We don't have that tonight. Right. So I'm going to do this. And so the thing is, I got to be an audience guy. Like, I sit there the whole time and be a regular audience guy.
Right.
So he can go, hey, you, down front. You want to see what I think is funny? Get up here. Yeah. Yeah. Splash.
Oh, my
there
God.
There you go. Boo. You're an asshole. I'm going to talk to the manager out the side door, the New York side door.
Yeah, know? I love that and side door. Window. Yeah.
And then I come around the back, I towel off, and I watch the rest of the shit. And he goes, I was only trying to make you laugh. And then he goes into, when they hate him, get him back again from the hatred. So I was the trigger for the hatred.
That's so... I mean, I try to tell people what that side door was. I mean, because... There were times when I was on stage and, you know, other comics would be banging on the door, you know.
Or hey, I forgot. Did I leave a joke here?
Yeah. That place was really something special. And they had the best homemade French fries. Anyway, he used to fry the potatoes.
Yeah, the Salvador Dali fries.
Yeah.
Hangover.
Yes. Oh, they were so good. Yeah. Who else was there? Richard Lewis.
Belzer.
Belzer
coming remember, all the time. It was also Jack Grayman.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of the house. Get the fuck out of the house. I have a very funny Studio 54 story. I'm trying to sneak in the back of Studio 54 because sometimes it's like Coke break or
right.
You know, weed break guys who go outside to smoke some weed and they leave the crack door open in the back. And sometimes the guard's not there. And you just like, ha ha ha, you walk back in like you're a friend, you know? And so there's this guy sitting on the step out right behind by the door outside. And I think it's Grayman.
Right.
And so I go, hey, Jack. And he goes, hey. Because he just thinks I'm going, hey, Jack, hey, pal, hey, bub.
Yeah.
Like that. And I get closer and closer. It's Kurt Vonnegut.
No way!
He looks just like Jack, you know.
Right.
Mustache and hair, you know, like that. And he was like, he couldn't take the noise. And we just sat outside for an hour and I talked for an hour with Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh my God.
Thinking it was Jack Grayman.
That's hilarious.
And he used to go on stage as Burt Vonnegut Jr. He would do that character.
It's that's hilarious. Grayman. And by the way, the improv, I went there too, but in the mid 80s, Silver, Friedman was the booker, Bud Friedman, she was married to Bud, Bud left and opened in LA. Silver was out of her mind, but you know, whatever. But you know,
Larry I just G, saw Bud.
You I did? Just had How lunch is with he?
Him. He's How is, good. He's
I love good. Him.
I love him. He's there.
Yeah.
He's there. Right there, and his mind is right there.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the thought processes.
Right.
This is about the channels to get it out, the communication devices.
Yeah.
That's all. That is all. Because you see him fight for exactly the word he is looking to say. And you know he knows it. And you know it too.
Yeah.
And so that's, he is absolutely clear of thought. And don't worry about any part of that. He's just, his struggle is how to get these messages out. And everyone gets it. Everyone gets the basic idea.
Yeah.
It all works.
Yeah, he was good to me. So thank you, bud.
Mark Price set that up for us. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with the legend that is Rick Overton. I just love everything about this guy. He's just a class act. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help and love of Brittany Jo Sowards. Now, if you have not subscribed to the show and left a review, then there's something wrong with you. Like, there's something wrong with everyone, but just, like, please subscribe, leave a review, 5 stars, tell your friends about the show, and then you can talk about it amongst yourselves. Also, go to my website, judygold.com. You can buy my book there. Yes, I can say that. When They Come With Comedians, We're All in Trouble. You can hear about everything I'm doing. You can look at old photos. You know, there's a lot you can do on that website. It's clickbait, baby. You know what I'm saying? Also, if you're on the Cape, come see me in Provincetown. I'm performing through Labor Day. Yeah, I'm doing other things. I'm in Minneapolis in September. I have gigs coming up. I'm coming to Florida. So just, you know, check it out on my website, judygold.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at judygold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, because I'm Jewish. Ding dong. Also, I say it every week. If you're not vaccinated, fucking get vaccinated. The world doesn't revolve around you and your fucking conspiracy theories, okay? I'm excluding people with autoimmune problems who can't get vaccinated. The rest of you are fucking assholes if you're not vaccinated. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of the summer. You know, that's it. I love you all and thank you all so much for listening. I have the best fans. I mean, all 4 of them. And as we always say, so long. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part 2 on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
No.
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.